brought to you by the Cannabis Bee Network.
Here is the Cannabis Entrepreneur Show with your host, Scott Jacobs.
Hello, listeners. How's it going today? This is the Cannabis Entrepreneur, This and That, episode 001. This and That will have a little bit of things I find around the internet. It's about entrepreneurs, about business, about productivity, and a couple different things I just find. Things that I want to listen to and that, you know, I don't have time to read. All right, let's roll into article number one. Recognizing opportunity is the first step to an entrepreneurial mindset. Take it away.
Recognizing opportunity is the first step to an entrepreneurial mindset by Amy Rosen, Source Entrepreneur. For more than 25 years, the organization I run has been teaching young people, mostly high school age students, how to think like entrepreneurs. In that time, the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship, NFTE, has exposed more than 500,000 students to the power of the entrepreneurship mindset. Our curriculum is different because our teachers don't just lecture or assign work. Our teachers guide students through the stages of launching a business. Students buy wholesale goods, retail their products, and write business and marketing plans. More than creating waves of fledgling businesses, we aim to empower generations of thinkers with the entrepreneurship mindset. The first step in that mindset, the thing we lead our students to discover first, is opportunity recognition. While the exact components and essential sequences of an entrepreneurship mindset aren't accepted by everyone, yet most agree that the ability to recognize opportunity is the first step. It may also be the easiest to understand and identify. Usually on the very first day of our classroom experience, our teachers ask students to think of an idea and pitch it to their classmates. Knowing when you have an idea, and the ability to explain it to others, is opportunity recognition in its simplest form. More is expected of entrepreneurs though. We expect entrepreneurs to be innovators. We expect entrepreneurial ideas to be worthy of consumer and capital investment. In the technology sector, the benchmark is that an idea should be transformative or disruptive. However good or investment-worthy an idea is, the aha moment of inspiration is the on-ramp to entrepreneurship. And it can be learned. Here's how. Go out and explore. In our classrooms, we teach students to go for a walk. In some cases, we literally take our students for walks around their schools or neighborhoods for the purpose of seeing what is not there. Or, more accurately, thinking about what should be there. Quickly, students realize that a city block with four dry cleaning stores may not be the best place for another, but may be perfect for a retail accessories store. Or a home delivery service. Ask questions. Those looking to recognize opportunity can also go grocery shopping. Talk to shoppers and ask what they are buying and why. Ask what product they wish they could buy but isn't available. If you work in an office, sit with your company's office supply purchaser and ask the same questions. At NFTE, our teachers advise our students to start with what they know. We found that those who know the neighborhood or their workplace best have an advantage in recognizing opportunity there. The success in recognizing opportunity, though, lies in asking the questions about what is missing or what could be better. Getting good at that mindset takes practice and habit formation. In the short time, students become young entrepreneurs who begin to see opportunity everywhere. Even though it's just the first step on the path of learning an entrepreneurship mindset, the power of recognizing opportunity is transformative, whether you are in high school and begin to see your neighborhood and future differently, or in a C-suite corner office and can visualize your product in a new way. That's opportunity recognition, and when you start doing it, you're on your way to thinking like, and perhaps being, an entrepreneur.
Article number two, five elements of an irresistible call to action. Take it away.
Five elements of an irresistible call to action. By Craig Simpson. Source, Entrepreneur. Having the right sales piece is crucial to the success of your direct mail campaign. And one of the most critical aspects of any sales piece is the offer, or call to action. This is the part of the copy that lets readers know what you want them to do and what they'll get for doing it. The call to action needs to be dynamic enough to get past readers' natural inertia and inspire them to do something. It has to have the motivational power to convert readers into buyers. The copy leading up to the call of action needs to do its job as well, laying the groundwork for why readers need your product or service, explaining why what you offer is the best quality, and why giving your company a try is the best thing they can do to fulfill their personal goals. But it's your call to action that will put people over the top. It should describe all the wonderful things they will get if they're spawned, and instruct them on exactly what they have to do to take advantage of it. Sadly, this is where I've seen so many sales pieces fizzle out. The call to action isn't strong enough or clear enough to clinch the sale, which means you could be wasting a ton of money and missing out on the sales you need to build your business. To help you avoid a serious misstep like that, here are my top 5 elements of an irresistible call to action. 1. Make sure you actually have a call to action. This element is perhaps the most important. You have to make sure there actually is some kind of offer and call to action in the piece. If you have a great new diet formula, don't think it's enough to introduce your product, say why it's better than anything out there, have great testimonials, and just put your phone number. You have to tell people how to order, what they'll get, and that they have to do it right away. Otherwise, the chances that they will call are very slim. In addition to the big call to action at the end of the piece, it doesn't hurt to put brief reminders on every page, like order now with the phone number. 2. Give clear instructions with limited options. You may have 26 products that you love, and all kinds of ordering combinations and programs available for customers to choose from, but readers will not want to plow through all that. And if you give them too many choices, they may go into confusion about what's their best option, and decide to end the anxiety by putting the piece down with the intention of coming back to it later, when they have the time to sort everything through. That breaks the force of the sales piece, and the likelihood is they'll never pick up the piece again, except to throw it away. Marketing research shows that prospects buy more when their choices are limited. So have just one or two product offers to choose from, and give very simple ordering instructions, call, order online, or mail/fax the attached order form. Make sure you always include a simple offer with a clear call to action, and use strong action words, buy, call, act now. This will motivate prospects to respond. 3. Present a time limit. Even if we like a product and think we might order, the tendency is to think, I'll do it later. And then later never comes. You can help overcome that reluctance to pull the trigger by making your offer time sensitive. Prospects must respond by a certain date or the offer will be void, or they will miss out on some add-on bonus. A variant of this is to say that quantities are limited and it's first come, first served. Add a sense of urgency to your call to action, and it will get a better response. I should mention that another reason for adding a time limit is that you want your orders to come in quickly. You don't want them trickling in over an extended period of time. This is especially important if you want to determine how successful a piece is. You'd like to know that after a reasonable period of time, say, 3 weeks, you'll have a good idea of how many orders you're getting. If orders keep coming in indefinitely, you'll be waiting forever to get the statistics you need. 4. Offer a bonus. A powerful offer is boosted by the addition of a bonus item. If prospects order from this offer, they will receive a gift, like a free report, a CD, a coaching session, whatever you feel will add value in the eyes of your prospects. A bonus tied to a time limit can be especially effective. Make it clear that the bonus will only be available for a limited time, or while supplies last. In some cases, you can make the bonus sound so attractive that people will order the product just to get the bonus. 5. Appropriate to your purpose. Finally, the bonus that works best for you is the one that is most appropriate to the aim and audience of the sales piece. Ask yourself what you're trying to accomplish, and design your offer around that goal. For example, if you're sending out an introductory offer to a list of new prospects, your primary goal may just be to get them to make that first order, so they can get familiar with your product and you can get their contact information. In that case, a low-priced introductory offer might meet your purposes the best. If you have some kind of subscription service, you might make a $1 offer just to get contact information, and then put buyers on an auto-bill program that they can cancel at any time. All of this must be clearly spelled out in the description of the offer. On the other hand, let's say that you're sending a back-end piece to existing customers, trying to upsell them to a more expensive package. In that case, you would probably want to go with a higher-priced offer. With any offer, it always helps to stress that prospects can order with no risk. If you have a guarantee of some kind, or prospects can cancel at any time, clearly spell this out. People are more likely to go ahead and order if they feel comfortable that they have some protection. We may think we're so fascinating that all we have to do is introduce ourselves, and folks will come running, begging us to tell them more. But it doesn't work that way. People will not take the time to figure out on their own what you want them to do.
Article number 3. Create public accountability to ensure you complete a task. Take it away.
Create public accountability to ensure you complete a task. By Patrick Allen. Source: Lifehacker. If you find yourself having a hard time completing your tasks, Katie Dwyer of Hack College recommends a few ways you can use others to force you to be accountable. When you're the only one in charge of getting something done, it can build up a lot of pressure. Dwyer has a few tips for outsourcing some of that pressure and pushing yourself to get things done. Announcing you won't be using / checking social media for a certain amount of time, and then sticking to it because it's embarrassing to be caught liking an ex's photo when you're supposedly on a social media blackout. Announcing your word count / page count every day. This is a favorite of mine during my thesis writing. I had a big community of people who would cheer me on during the first draft. It was really helpful. Make plans that are contingent on you getting a certain amount of work done. Ask the other person to enforce this. The next time you have a task that needs to get done, try using the social realm as a tool instead of a distraction.
Article number 4. Eureka, a product idea. Now ask these 5 questions. Take it away.
Eureka, a new product idea. Now ask these 5 questions. By Lewis Foreman. Source, Entrepreneur. You suddenly realize that you have an idea for a product or service that will transform the world. If you're American, you're a part of an inventive society constantly looking for the next big solution. So this will probably happen to you at least once. But what do you do next? So when that great idea comes to you in a eureka moment, before you feel the sudden urge to quit your job and cash in your 401k to pursue it, take a step back. Be prepared to answer these 5 questions before you start spending money on your great idea. 1. What is your idea, and what makes it unique? It may sound harsh, but the world doesn't need your idea. Really, it's 2014 and civilization has survived this long without it. Yes, consumers still want to purchase products and services that are better for the environment, will make their lives easier, bring joy to their lives, or cost less. Determine what about your proposed product or service differentiates it from the competition, direct and indirect, and why consumers will want to purchase yours, rather than something else that satisfies the same basic need. When my organization, Edison Nation, works with Bed Bath & Beyond, say, to find new products for its stores, these are the questions we try to investigate. The unique selling proposition ultimately affects the bottom line and helps determine what will succeed, and what could flop. 2. Who is your customer? Please do not say everyone. Imagine the ideal demographic of consumers of your product to estimate pricing, manufacturing logistics and distribution. Paint a picture of the perfect customer, including age, income, education level and geographic location. Armed with this information, you can quantify the size of your potential market and then do research to see if such people actually want your product. 3. Is there demand? Once you've settled on your potential customers, determining demand becomes easier. Conduct online surveys, assemble focus groups, or do one-on-one intercepts to determine what consumers like and don't like about your product, how much they would pay, where they would expect to purchase it, and how often. This information will help you determine if the demand is large enough to justify the financial risk, or more bluntly stated, if there is enough juice for the squeeze. When you think you've done enough research, do some more. Consider the R&D teams at Procter & Gamble or Rubbermaid. An established consumer product company won't invest in a new product or brand based on a hunch, and neither should you. 4. How much money will it take? Bringing a new product to market is like embarking on a long journey. You definitely want to be sure you have the resources to arrive at the final destination. Construct a startup budget and a pro forma income statement to determine what's needed and how long it would be before your company could break even and then be consistently profitable. You may discover that the financial rewards do not justify the risk. 5. Where will the money come from? Most businesses fail due to a lack of capital. It's not that they didn't have the resources to get started, they didn't have enough to bring them to profitability. Personal savings are a good start, and friends and family members are natural people to ask when trying to raise outside capital. If additional capital is needed, banks can provide liquidity to existing assets. They are not a good source of investment dollars, but they can free up some of the equity you may have in investments that can be pledged as collateral. Angel investors are a more appropriate source for risk capital and thus require a greater return than a traditional investor would. Venture capital may be another option if your business has the potential to generate explosive growth and returns. Don't start until you have the resources to bring your company to profitability. Finding resources later on can prove very difficult, and you run the risk of failure. If you don't have the expertise or financial resources to create something on your own, a trusted partner might be able to provide a solution. Innovation happens when a great idea or invention is commercialized. Great ideas without follow-through are just great ideas. Turning yours into a great product will require an investment of time, financial resources, and a little luck. The rewards, however, can make the journey worthwhile. If you can answer these five questions, then the odds of your success increase exponentially. Enjoy the journey.
Article number 5. Don't let your business be a casualty of Google's Panda 4.0 update. Take it away.
Don't let your business be a casualty of Google's Panda 4.0 update. By John Hall. Source, Forbes. If you didn't know how to make popcorn on a stove, what would you do? You'd probably look it up online, but when you plug how to make stovetop popcorn into Google, you get about 415,000 results. Some results provide great recipes, but the majority are spam, junk content, or a combination of the two. Usually the good stuff finds its way to the first page of search results, but a recent Google update is ensuring more of that quality content makes it to the top. Last week, Google rolled out Panda 4.0, a seismic shift in its search algorithm that puts a heavy emphasis on valuable, non-spammy content. While the companies that dole out junk content are running scared, Panda presents a perfect opportunity for businesses that produce great content to leapfrog the competition. While it's not entirely clear what this update includes, yet we do know that Panda puts spammy queries and content in its crosshairs. As more information surfaces, it's becoming obvious that aggregators and companies with little original content will lose visibility. What does this mean for your business? If you think your business may be losing out as a result of the latest Panda update, the best way to brace for this change is to be proactive in creating helpful and authentic original content using personal experiences and industry examples. Here's what you can do. 1. Create a plan. If you haven't created a content marketing plan, now is a good time to do so. Why are you creating content in the first place? Who are you trying to reach? What benefit does your audience receive? By answering these questions, your plan will start to take shape. 2. Put a process in place. One of the most common problems I see is that people get excited about content, but fail to implement the process for creating the content. You chug along for a while, then get distracted. As a leader, you may not have time to do it all yourself. Feeding the monster with a consistent stream of content is a full-time job. I suggest bringing someone on board to lighten the load, hiring an outside firm, or allocating a portion of an existing employee's time to maintaining an editorial calendar with blog posts and contributed content. 3. Keep content authentic. Your company is the best at doing what you do. Make use of your unique expertise by writing about the topics people want to learn about. Better yet, ask your customers what they want to know and check your website's analytics to see which search terms are bringing people to your site. That sort of content makes you an authentic leader in your niche. 4. Be careful with ghostwriting. While it's tempting to pass off all content creation to another employee or an outside agency, there's a strong possibility that they don't have the knowledge that you do. That doesn't mean that you can't get writing help, but the content still needs to be yours. For this article, I quickly typed up my main points, then my editorial team went in and spruced it up for publication. If you do use a writer to help, make sure you communicate what you want your content to say and make yourself available to answer questions. 5. Leverage your content. It's not enough to simply create content. To get it in front of your customers, you need to decide how you're going to leverage it. Create a checklist of all the places your article should go after publication, for example, LinkedIn, Twitter, your email newsletter, etc., so your team knows what to do with it. 6. Capture your audience. Once your audience has read your content, the last and hardest step is conversion. By using lead capturing tools and creating a constant stream of white papers, blogs, and other content assets, you'll be amplifying your message and constantly nurturing leads who find your content. Some leads may be interested enough to call you up after reading one article, while others will need to have dozens of interactions with your content before they convert. Building awesome content that makes its way to the top of search results is no accident. While it may involve a lot of work, time, and resources, businesses can use Google's Panda 4.0 update to their advantage. With a little tenacity and planning, your company can avoid being just another popcorn recipe buried in the search results. John Hall is the CEO of Influence & Company, a company that helps brands build their influence.
All right, that's all I have for this episode. Till next episode, have a good day, good night, good week. Bye-bye.